This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Today, KYUK is remembering John Active, who died 1 year ago today. John Active was a public radio pioneer. He helped create and define the bicultural and bilingual style of KYUK, and to this day, he remains the only Indigenous commentator to air on national public radio. John introduced the Yupik language and Yupik culture to the nation through his writing and storytelling. Today, we hear how John's work got on National Public Radio from Art Silverman, a senior producer at NPR, and Jeff Kennedy, a longtime friend and colleague of John's who worked with John at KYUK in the 1990s.
This is Art Silverman. I'm currently a senior producer at NPR, where I've been for 40 years. In the 80s and early 90s, I was the line producer, and part of my job was making sure we had plenty of commentaries.
A producer named Art Silverman visited the Anchorage annual convention of reporters, and he made his pitch. You know, we're really interested in stories from Alaska, and anything you got, send it down to us.
First, let's have a little music, please, to get us in the mood. Let's see, what would be good? How about Fiddler on the Roof? Tukung saukuma. We ksan koh pao yah to we ernach pak jayuni we ksan koh.
John did a commentary. He started singing, "If I were a rich man," and then, complete turn out of nowhere, he said, "I would have people pick berries for me." Totally off the wall. It didn't seem to make any sense, but it's so different from anything you'd ever heard before by anybody. And I thought to myself, I wonder how producers in the lower 48 would react to this.
Translation, if I were a rich man, I'd have someone pick berries for me. All those citified Alaskans always think subsistence is something we Eskimos do for fun. Those sports hunters and fishermen talk about how we really have it made to live off the land. I'd like to take a couple of them out berry picking with me, and maybe then they'd understand.
So I call up Art Silverman.
Yeah, what do you want?
I said, well, we got a piece. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, sit down. Goodbye.
I said, okay. So much for Art Silverman's enthusiasm.
When I first heard John Active, I had never been to Alaska. I am a New Jersey guy. What hooked me was his obvious enjoyment of his own culture, a culture I knew nothing about. I had to look on a map to find what he was talking about, the region, and his humor.
So 3 hours go by. I'm doing something else. I got a phone call. It's Art Silverman. I answer the phone, and he says, "We love it. It's absolutely fantastic. Best thing I ever heard." So it airs on All Things Considered.
He just seemed to be having a delightful time and loved explaining it, explaining his lifestyle and those of his people to people elsewhere.
So a couple of weeks go by. We're listening to All Things Considered. And the announcer comes on and she says, "We now come to our segment on National Public Radio of listener comments. And this time we have something entirely different in listener comments, because the vast majority of calls that we got were from people absolutely enchanted by the commentary of John Active in Bethel, Alaska." Over the next couple of days, John got a bunch of fan mail from all over the country, and John didn't know what to do with it. The traditional way of Yupik people is it's okay to be outstanding, but you don't want to be standing out. And John was suddenly standing out, and it was embarrassing to him to become a nationwide celebrity, so he had to wrestle with this And after a while, he decided he liked it, after all.
And from there, they go into big Ziploc bags and into the freezer. Ah, thank God for modern conveniences. In the old days, berries were stored in inflated seal skins, woven grass bags or kegs, and then buried in the permafrost to be dug out later in winter. Most families will try to get some of every variety of berry to make a akutuk.
He had a piece which we labeled Eskimo Food Treats, Berries and Ice Cream.
Up in the Yukon, they like to add flakes of whitefish. Some modern Eskimo women like to blend in finely chopped cabbage. My mom even mixes in mashed potatoes. It's more filling that way. Some people like to throw in fish livers, fish eggs, and seal oil. My mouth waters just thinking about it.
And I think the imagery he brought to bear on that about gathering berries and making Eskimo ice cream, I was just hungry to get up there and meet him.
John Active is a reporter for member station KYUK in Bethel, Alaska.
Those of us outside Alaska who grew up in a metropolitan area found it amazing and grew fond of him, and it changed a lot of attitudes in the long term for how we see people of a different culture as actual human beings and not just a stereotype within a culture. John did a great deal to get us to that point.
National Public Radio has had one Native American commentator ever, and that happened to be John. And it was kind of an accident that it happened, because I just got a wild hair. If I hadn't gotten the wild hair, maybe it never would have happened.
That was NPR producer Art Silverman and former KYUK reporter Jeff Kennedy talking about John Active, the only indigenous commentator ever on National Public Radio. Here is another commentary John created for NPR. It's also about one of his favorite subsistence foods, mouse food. The commentary aired on March 24th, 1992.
Ice still covers rivers in Bethel, Alaska. Spring only means more light as winter food supplies dwindle. Commentator John Active looks forward to Yupik Eskimo spring foraging, which begins with fishing, berry picking, and finally, a tundra delicacy.
Mouse food. It's a real tasty tundra tidbit, truly titillating to the tongue, like truffles are to the French. We call it antlet, our word for cotton grass roots, which grow tall and green along the banks of lakes and streams here in summer. The tubers are long and dark on the outside, and on the inside, they're white, like a potato, and we use them like potatoes in our soups. And because they're sweet too, we dice them up and mix them in akutuk, or Eskimo ice cream, a whipped mixture of shortening and sugar. Cotton grass tubers aren't very big either, an inch or so long, small enough for a mouse to carry away. Some folks call them mouse nuts, but I don't like to call them mouse nuts. It doesn't sound right to say, let's go out and look for mouse nuts. Besides, we ought to show some respect for the little ovalnut, or mice. They worked hard all summer, excavating the cotton grass roots, spiriting them away into their underground caches for the cold winter days today. In the old days, little girls were given bracelets, made up of tiny mouse hands as charms, to make them more munuk, very meticulous in their skin sewing and anything they did with their hands. The charms must have done the trick, because those same hands were hard at work last fall gathering mouse food. You'd see the little Yupik ladies out on the pillow-soft tundra in twos and threes, moving carefully in circles. They take tiny steps, putting on their weight on their heels so they'll sink in when they step on a mouse cache. And when that happens, they say, "Wani huat dung! Look, here it is." The mice, though, are less than thrilled. Before they abandon ship, they send out a bunch of high-pitched squeaks. It almost sounds like they're kissing excitedly. It reminds me of a song I heard once about a lady who got scared by a mouse. Hong ya ya gam, da dum dong ah. Hong ya ya gam, da dum dong ah. Nchlu ya gam ka pukuk cha kai nanim ni. Hong ya ya gam, da dum dong ah. My head is filled with memories like these from my younger days, cached away like the mouse has done with his tubers. We Yupiks are lucky to live close to Nuna, the land, which in our case is tundra. To outsiders, it looks vast and empty. But to us, it is endlessly revealing. And as isolated as we are, it is quickly changing. Take the mice, for example. There is already a difference between tundra mice and village mice. You might say the village mice are getting urbanized. Their caches are a nightmare. Along with the tubers, you find other inedibles like styrofoam, plastic wrap, and cigarette butts. Filthy, filthy! Tundra mice, on the other hand, are nice and neat. You only find tubers in their caches, carefully stashed away. When the ladies dig inside, they're careful not to take too much. They leave enough behind for the mouse to survive and make it through the winter. To ensure there will be more mice to go and to gather more mouse food. Gaich ba! It makes me hungry just to talk about it. Ang ya ya gam, ta tam tang ah. Ang ya ya gam, ta tam tang ah. Tchlu ya gam ka, bukuk cha kai nanim ni ka. Ang ya ya gam, ta tam tang ah.
John Active is a Yupik Eskimo of Southwest Alaska. Comes to us via KYUK in Bethel.
That was John Active's NPR commentary on mouse food. The story aired nationwide in 1992. Today is the one-year anniversary of John's death. Join KYUK as we honor John throughout the day through airing his stories and interviews with people who knew him well. Koyana. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for the news in Yukdun coming up.